Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
All right, so we all, for years, we've been hearing about UNRWA. Since 2014, I remember 2014, in Operation Cast Lead between Israel and Hamas. I remember there was constant reports of rockets being fired from UNRWA schools, from UNRWA installations, and UNRWA and UNRWA and UNRWA. Now, UNRWA is the United Nations Relief Agency for Palestinians, which is, in and of itself, it's very interesting that, you know, that there is, that somebody would maintain refugee status so long after, well, for such a long time. At some point, you stop being a refugee. So I think that UNRWA, I think that they have failed in their most basic undertaking. So the latest, and this is a story that comes from Israel National News, the UNRWA chief says, we have enough funds to operate through May. Well, he says, after warning that the United Nations agency would not be able to survive through March, UNRWA chief says the organization now has enough funds to keep operating until at least the end of May. Joining me from NGO. I'm sorry. Okay. NGO Monitor, senior researcher at NGO Monitor, Sean Sachs joins me now. Morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning, thanks. How are you?
All right, thank you. What is the story with UNRWA? I mean, why has it taken so long down this road? Why hasn't there been intervention beforehand?
Well, I think it's one of those things that's unfortunately almost been too big to fail. That this was a, if you want to call it, a scam refugee agency that was set up 75 years ago. And it has taken billions and billions of dollars and euros and funds from all over the world. And only now are people coming and realizing that this entire agency was set up not to alleviate or find a solution to a refugee problem, but to maintain and perpetuate a refugee crisis for eternity. And now that this has become so blatantly clear, more and more Western governments are actually pulling out and realizing they can't maintain this horrible and problematic organization.
Well, it's all, you know, it's so hard to tell what is the truth and what isn't. You know, you've got a civilian population that has become radicalized. So it's very hard to normalize relationships with a radicalized population. And I can only speak as an outsider. I don't live in Israel, right, and I don't live in Gaza.
Okay, so that's a whole different set of questions, but let's talk about UNRWA generally as an organization. You mentioned before from 2014, but this is part of the problem, the systemic problem with UNRWA. Not only does it maintain this refugee problem, but the very organization, the very nature of the organization is a problem. I mean, just going back over the last decade, we've not only heard, but there's documentation, there's video evidence that UNRWA people themselves acknowledge that Hamas used their UNRWA facilities for rocket storage. Hamas and Islamic Jihad fired rockets from in and around UNRWA facilities, including schools. UNRWA itself acknowledged that there were times where Hamas had passed through and used their facilities. But now what do we have? This phenomenal thing has happened. The current head of UNRWA, Mr. Lazzarini, said he wasn't aware of any of this. Apparently he lived in a hole until he took over UNRWA a few years ago. He didn't know that any of these things were happening. And now that Israel, it has become blatantly clear that not only was UNRWA's facilities used for rockets and used for launching and used for storage, UNRWA employees themselves participated in the October 7th massacre. And Mr. Lazzarini says he's shocked to discover this. I mean, if it wasn't a joke, it would be sad. He didn't know. And then, so firstly, he said he didn't know. Now he says, okay, yes, he now is being made aware, but it's only a few. Okay, it's only a few. It's only a few dozen. Now we discover it's only a few hundred. Israel is claiming it's at least 1,300, and he's not sure. And it, just to add ridiculousness over how stupid this is, Mr. Lazzarini was invited to appear before a budgetary parliamentary committee of the European Parliament. One of his largest donors asked him to appear before him so he could justify why he wants millions and millions, hundreds of millions of euro from the European Union. And rather than appear, he said, they just need to give me money, and he refused to appear before a budgetary committee. Mr. Lazzarini is demanding hundreds of millions from the European Union, and he refused to answer any of their questions.
It's incredible.
That's the situation we have today with UNRWA.
But you know, so where do we actually get the truth? Where do we get the truth, Sean? You know, you've got Gaza. I mean, one of the most surprising things to me is how many hospitals Gaza has. Gaza has, per kilometer, the most densely, they've got the most hospitals.
The largest distribution of medical facilities for a so-called refugee population in the world.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean,
which just goes to show that what has happened is UNRWA is one part of this problem, where you've created an entire population, and you've created an entire population that is maintained by aid. There is no need to create something new. There's no need to be an entrepreneur. There's no need to pull yourself out of poverty, because everything will be given to you by somebody else, and therefore you can abuse it, you can misuse it, you can use it for terror, and it'll just come back to you. And that's the situation that unfortunately the world has created in Gaza. And South Africa, the South African government, is supporting that. And what is even worse, the South African government doesn't have to pay the bill for this, because the South African government claims they support the Palestinians. They bash Israel and send Israel to the ICC and the ICJ. Israel then unfortunately is forced to respond to terrorist attacks. And when everything is being destroyed in the war, now the same South African government says, well, America needs to pay, the European Union needs to pay, Germany needs to pay, and South Africa stands back and continues, back to what we said in the beginning, to encourage the militant population within the Palestinians to rise up.
You know, Sean, it's interesting that there are five steps between dependency. Okay, so there are only five steps. If you want to make somebody dependent, there are only five steps, right? And I think that this is a lesson for South Africa, because often, especially this morning, we're talking about the United States, we're talking about where South Africa gets aid from. It keeps us dependent. It stops us from developing our own industries, right? Anyhow, so there's five stages. So if I give you 1,000 rand today, right? The first time I give it to you, you're going to be appreciative. Tomorrow, when I give you 1,000 rand, you're going to anticipate it, that I'm going to give you 1,000 rand. By the third day, you're going to expect that I'm going to give you 1,000 rand. By the fourth day, you're going to feel entitled that I should give you that 1,000 rand, because now it is your right to have it. And by day five, you are dependent. And you cannot live without that 1,000 rand. And that's how it is.
That's exactly the situation that has been created over the last 75 years. And we're not talking about a few thousand, we're talking about billions and billions. And I'm going to end off with a very important message. One of the great lessons from the success of Zionism is that after 2,000 years of exile and relying on the goodness and unfortunately having dreams and our hopes broken by the rest of the world, Zionism encouraged Jews to step forward and create our own independent homeland. And yes, we do. We encourage support and help from the rest of the world. But as Jews, as Zionists, we took hold of our own destiny and said, we will create our own state. We will build. We will become a high-tech hub. We will create industry. We will create agriculture. We will create a country that is the envy of the world, so that we can now export and help the rest of the world. That's a lesson for all of us, and I wish South Africans could learn that.
Sean Sachs, that is where we leave it. Thank you so much for your time this morning and for rescuing me when I got tongue-tied. Thank you. That is Sean Sachs. He is a senior researcher at NGO Monitor.